a walk around Athens, and he sees all of these misdirections, really. Gods to everything. There's altars everywhere. There's idols everywhere. And I want you to think today, as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about how that applies to today. And how when we turn on our TV, that there's something really for everybody. There's something that will touch your heart, and I don't mean in a good way. It's going to tempt you, right? There's something that you can give into and make an idol. And we all have to watch out for this on a daily basis, because while God didn't make junk, we all do have strengths and weaknesses. We all do have things that tempt us more than other things. And in Athens, they were very, very interested, we're going to get to this in a minute, in hearing every new thing. They loved it. They loved every time there was a big change, every time there was something new and exciting. That's what they liked. And we have to watch out for that, because God is unchanging. The Bible is unchanging. The gospel is unchanging. So when Paul was walking around in the city of Athens, and I'm not going to read all this because it would take a long time. I think it's we would need to read verse 16 through, maybe 34. So we're not going to do that. I'm just going to kind of tell you the story as we go along. But his spirit was stirred in him when he saw all these idols. And he knew by looking around that these were smart people according to the day and age. When we think of philosophers, we think usually of intelligence. We think of people who know what they're doing. But in essence, sometimes people can be too smart for their own good. They can become so wise, as the Bible says, that they become fools. And that was what was happening in Athens. They had gods for everything. They had altars for everything. They had statues. They had beautiful structures. And they even had one altar that was to the unknown God. And many scholars say this is in case they missed one. You know, in case we missed one, let's put up an altar. You know, we've got to get them too. We've got to have everybody on our side. And we know it was a very political place as well, so they wanted all the help they could get, I'm sure. But one thing that was very interesting to these philosophers was hearing about this resurrection of Jesus. They had never heard of anything like that before. So, of course, they wanted Paul to come and speak in front of the Stoics and Epicureans. Stoicism is an interesting philosophy, and I like to read it. But they didn't believe in the afterlife. They believed in sort of an energy field, and your energy might go back into the cosmos. And then the Epicureans are often known for what's called hedonism. You may have heard of that. That's where you seek pleasure. In reality, what they were doing, it's not as bad as it quite sounds. They would always measure everything. They would measure the pain versus the pleasure. So they would say, okay, if I do this, it'll give me this much pleasure, but then tomorrow I might have this much pain, so therefore that's not a good... So it was a little more thought out than just going after pleasure, but it was still wrong. And they were deists. They believed that there was a God, basically, but he didn't care anything about what we did, so no repercussions, you know. So these were the people that Paul was talking to, and then a lot of other people as well. And when we read about the Areopagus, that word there, you can go there and you can visit that hill. But the interesting thing about it is it was really probably a group of people. And it was probably a group of a council, basically, that would get together and discuss all these things. So Paul was getting up there. He was going up there to the high up people and he was speaking to them. And he was going to get to preach the gospel in a pretty important place. And he took that opportunity. And when we think about that today, coming back to applying it to our lives, how can we do that kind of thing? How can we put Jesus out there from a high and lofty position if we have opportunity to do so? It's something we should think about. And Paul went up to this famous hill in Greece. And from that hill, I mean, it's a beautiful place. You can look it up on YouTube. You can see the Acropolis from there. And it had statues of goddesses, gods, all these things. But he was going to tell them something that they weren't going to particularly like. Some of them were, as we read a little bit later, but a lot of them didn't like it. They were calling him a babbler. He was being called names. But he withstood that and he pushed through. And when we think about our lives at work, our lives with friends, all these things, you know, we were talking about groupthink. If none of your friends believe in God, it's hard to bring him up. And we need to make sure that our friends will at least agree in so much as to give us opportunity to believe in God. Otherwise, we should really probably shake the dust from our feet on that friendship. You need to at least be able to say, this is what I believe, and get some sort of respect for that. Because you shouldn't hide away and not reveal the fact that you're a Christian. This is something that's wrong to do. We must confess Christ before the people in our lives. Paul was going to do this. Remember, Paul came from a very prestigious group of Jewish people. And so he was going to be very prestigious. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest Jewish teachers. And so he was giving that up and he said, well, okay, so you're Gentiles, but you're kind of the same thing I came from. So I'm going to tell you the truth about Christ. All these things apply back to us in our lives. No matter how important the situation or how prestigious, we should always stand up for God, for Jesus. And so Paul, he begins this speech, and it's a great line. He says in Acts 17, verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And coming from a people, you know, coming to this people, who have all these structures built, all these things that are beautiful and that look very powerful. Paul is saying, look, these things don't mean anything. You all need the truth. And he's saying, I want to tell you who this unknown God is. And so Paul has a lot of nerve, doesn't he? He was beat I don't know how many times, and he kept going. And when God chose Paul as an apostle, and he made him an apostle that was going to really deliver much of the New Testament. He knew what he was doing, didn't he? He knew Paul was an amazing man, capable of so much. And he certainly was. We get this all throughout Acts 17 and throughout the New Testament. So Paul started his talk and he said, there's one true God. He's the Creator. He's holy. He's unchangeable. And he is the God of love. He loves you. And you know, God loves every one of us in here. And without that love of God, this world becomes a very cold place very quickly. Because you know, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon to hear of people who may make it big or who have family who's powerful and connected and they have a lot of friends. And then maybe something happens to that person. Maybe they're in a car accident or something happens or maybe they're paralyzed. All of a sudden, you're going to know who your real friends are, aren't you? Because you're not going to be able to get things for those people like you used to. Who's going to come around now? We always need to think about that. God is our true friend. Jesus is our best friend. And you may be lucky to have one or two really great friends in your life that are, you know, considered maybe your best friend. But you're always going to have one, aren't you? No matter if that person dies, the best friend, no matter if you are deserted by all your friends, you're always going to have Jesus as your best friend. And Paul is offering this hope, this peace, and this power to overcome all of life's problems to these wise people, what the world considered very wise people. So he was made fun of by some of these people. But others listened to him. And I want to tell all of you, you may be made fun of by some people, especially in this day and age, especially as we go forward from this point. It does seem that the trend, when you know we were talking in class this morning about how politicians lick their finger and stick it up in the air, see which way things are blowing. Well, I'll tell you something. The winds are blowing in a somewhat unfavorable manner. And so we need to remember this lesson, that we always stand for God, that Jesus is our best friend, and He always will be, no matter what. In John 16, verse 33, our Lord said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There are so many opportunities for idolatry in our world today. We turn on the TV, we see it, but we need to always put Christ first. Christ has overcome this world of sin and death. Now, everyone here would acknowledge God in some way, I do believe. But it's still possible that God is an unknown God to you. And so, with part of this lesson, I want you to think about where you're at in your Christian life. And another thing I want to say is we all have problems in our Christian lives. We may have family that pulls us in different directions. We may have belief structures that have been implanted and are really hard to get out of. It's very hard to change. Despite what people think, it's not impossible to change because that's anti-biblical. So any kind of a habit or anything that you have, God made us with a brain that can change. But I'll tell you what, it's not easy. You build a groove over time of doing the same thing. When you get up, you do that thing. I have my coffee. It'd be really hard to switch around my brushing my teeth and drinking my coffee. If that needed to be done, that would be really difficult for me to do. Drink my coffee before I brush my teeth? So just little things like that. We've built a groove. And as Christians, we can build grooves. And maybe many in your families have built a groove that's not correct, and you can see it. You can see in here, and you can see what they're doing, and you say, that's not the right groove. But remember how difficult it is to pull out of that groove that's so deep over so many years. Don't give up hope on those people. Pray for those people because God made them with the ability to get out of that groove. And every one of us know about that groove. We've all tried to start something, or we've tried to stop something, and it's been very, very difficult. Maybe we failed at it. So let's have mercy on others, but let's also be an inspiration to those people. Paul here is being an inspiration to these very wise, and I'm using air quotes, men who thought they had everything figured out, or at least maybe that it couldn't be figured out, but it sure was fun trying. That sounds like the type of people they were. But the truth is that Paul was putting out God's word right in front of them there. He was laying it out there for them. But many of us, we need to think, have we put God first in our lives? These people in Athens, they believed, most of them anyway, in some form of a God or energy in the universe. But did they believe in the one true God? And then after you believe in the one true God, are you going to do what He says? Or are you going to make up things that are a little bit more suitable for your own life? We all have these options. And these men and women, I believe, on this hill, they had that option as well. They could make their own choice. We also need to remember that God wants us to win. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. You read the Bible and you think, boy, there's a lot in there. This is complicated. But it's really not. It's pretty simple. You have to dedicate yourself to read the Bible, the Word of God, to look at it. And a lot of great scholars have figured it out. A lot of regular men, farmers, people have figured it out. There's even been people that can't read that have figured it out because someone read it to them or told them about it. So there's many ways to do it. You don't have to be a philosopher. You don't have to be a scientist to figure out the Bible. But you do need to do your own research, like the Bereans, study to show yourself approved, make sure the things are correct. Paul here was presenting truth to these people on this hill. And today we can do the same thing. We can present truth to people that we know. We can present the truth to the people in our lives, but they may not accept it. They may call you a babbler, like they called Paul. They may make fun of you. They may leave and disappear out of your life. But if they do, that's somebody you didn't need in your life anyway. We need to make sure that we stand strong for God and let the people who need to be in our lives stay. Let the other ones leave. In Romans 2, verses 10 and 11, we read, "But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." So why was Paul here on this hill? It was because everyone has a chance to be a Christian. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It does not matter. None of that matters. All that matters is that you follow the doctrine of Christ. So Paul would preach to anyone. What about the old law? In Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, we read, "The Lord said, 'You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.'" This is something I want to cover as well. With the old law, we had a precursor. With the new law, we have what we go by today. Paul was delivering the new law to the Gentiles. With the old law, it was a Jewish religion. They were God's chosen people. But today, you know who the chosen people are. The chosen people are the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And we need to make sure that we let others know this. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. And you don't have to be a preacher or a teacher. I think we all are anyway. You don't have to be great at it. You just have to do your best. And we are all sinners. So when you're talking to these people, as I said a little bit earlier in this sermon, remember, have mercy on them. Because every one of us are sinners. All of us must repent. All of us must turn away from sin. And the only way that we are going to make it to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And I think sometimes we end up pretending that we follow this, and because we follow this, we are saved. Well, yeah, it's because you follow the plan of salvation and you're a Christian and you're capable of repenting now. It's not because you follow this perfectly. That's impossible. So remember that. Everyone you meet, they may be in a state that is not good. They may not be a Christian. They may not have followed the plan of salvation, but I'll tell you, they are a sinner and you are a sinner. The only difference is you have Christ's blood to cover your sins. We must have Christ. Paul knew this. He didn't look down on these people. He was disappointed. He was sad that they were so delusional, but he did not look down on them. He understood they were humans. He was a human. He wanted to go to heaven, and he wanted them to go to heaven. And I ask you today, do you want all the people you meet to go to heaven? It's hard sometimes. What about the rude people? What about the people that almost run over you with a shopping cart at Walmart? You want that person to go to heaven? We should. Should want all of them to. And we should realize, and this has been something I've learned as I've gotten older, what's going on in that person's life? I remember this story that I read, and I cannot give attribution to it. But there was a man driving, and he posted this on social media. So if it's true, I think it probably was. He said he was driving, and this man pulled up behind him, was honking his horn, doing other bad things. And Finally, he pulled off at a gas station and parked. And so he went in and got gas, or paid for the gas. And when he came back out, there was a note there and said, "I was the man in the car behind you. My mother just died. I'm very sorry." And so a lot of times we don't understand what other people are going through. And that can cause people to react and to act in a way that's not like they usually act. Or it can be a more permanent thing and they've got something going on in their life and they're just not able to get rid of it and they do act like that all the time. But either way, we should have mercy, because I would say that from time to time in our lives, we've had some moments as well, right? I hope none of you have done that, but you know, I've done some pretty bad things, I will tell you. Things that I'm not proud of. So let's remember that. All of us are sinners. All of us have different things going on in our lives. But when the gospel is preached to us, and when we preach the gospel to others, we see the great solution. The people of the Areopagus, they saw the great solution. Paul presented it to them. You today, I hope, from this message and from being here at Neely's Bend, see this great solution before you. It's the solution for all of humankind. So let's all go out today. Let's try to live as an example of a Christian who promotes this great solution of Jesus Christ and His blood. And if you need help today, if you're in a situation where you don't think you've been living right, if you come forward today, we'd be happy to pray for you. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never followed the plan of salvation, or maybe you don't know what the plan of salvation is, I implore you to follow it today. I'm going to give you the plan of salvation right now. It's brief, but it will give you the verses you need in order to be saved. It's from our New Testament. It's not from me. First, we need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. We need to believe it and believe in God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. We need to repent of our sins. That means turn away from them. Luke 13, 3, we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. Matthew 10, 32, and we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. So this washes away our sins so we can rise to a newness of life. Mark 16, 16 and Acts 2, 38. And then we need to live faithfully. Do our very best, always knowing that Jesus' blood is what's doing this. But we are adhering as best we can to His commands. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. So if you have need of baptism today, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, I invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.